Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. My name is Jason Rollison. In addition to this podcast, you can find me on the pages of BucksDugout.com and on Twitter at JRollisonPGH. It's August 27th. The Pirates are off. So that means we're going to talk an off-day Pirates mailbag. We asked your questions. You delivered in kind, so let's get right to it. First question comes to us from at DGold157, Devin Golden. And he asks, we've talked a lot about moving on from Freeze, Harrison, and Mercer. What about moving on from Ivan Nova? That frees up more money to find a quality infield bat and reopens a long-term spot for Cole and Kingham. Good question. He also adds just how likely would a trade be since he has just 1 year left of a team-friendly contract. And I think it's kind of strange, but what Nova's ultimate destiny with the Pirates might hinge on is Chad Cole. Cole, of course, is going through some elbow issues right now. Presumably might get started on a rehab assignment this year, but more realistically, they're looking to ramp him up for 2019 at the beginning of the year. Now, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season, before everything got started, that Cole might end up in the bullpen by season's end, you know, I definitely would have believed you. But now with Vasquez, Crick, Kella, Santana, and Rodriguez, Cole's stuff really seems like it would be a waste in a bullpen role, especially being a long man or a fireman or that kind of thing. But here's what we know. As far as the rotation goes, Nick Kingham is out of options. Chad Cole is not, surprisingly. So it's very easy for me to see a scenario in which Cole is optioned down to start the season so the Pirates could, quote, take it slow, unquote, as he comes back. And really, that's the right move, especially if Tyon, Musgrove, and Williams continue to pitch well. You're not going to get rid of Chris Archer, of course. Let's not even get that into our heads. And if those three continue to pitch well, plus Archer, Cole is going to be the long man out, leaving Nova in the rotation. And from there, who knows? You know, but I do think that conventional wisdom tells you that trading Nova at the deadline rather than over the winter might bring more of a haul because teams get more desperate. You know, if a team is 2 games back of a wild card in July and they might be more than willing to pay the price at the deadline rather than over the off season. It doesn't make sense, does it really? But it kind of does. So keep in mind that Nova's $8 million change should definitely not preclude the Pirates from seeking middle infield help, especially with Mercer and Rodriguez's salaries for sure, presumably coming off the books. Our next question comes from at Tanner Yoho, big fan of our podcast, and we appreciate the support. He asks for two objectives for the offseason. He asks that I give him one must complete and one should complete, and one overrated one that you don't think they need to do. Okay, so that's a very good question. I'm going to start by saying they must complete settling on a middle infield. Is Newman your long-term answer at shortstop? Do you have faith in Kramer at second? Are you really going to try to bring Heck Varea back? And where does O'Neill Cruz fit into your future? I haven't even mentioned Cole Tucker. So even if the answer is kept internally, the Pirates must settle on a middle infield plan over the next 2 or 3 years. And, if nothing else, even forgetting at the plate for a minute, you want to be strong up the middle defensively. Now, the Pirates have a strong center fielder and starting Marte defensively, and they need to have that solid defense up the middle too. By all accounts, Kevin Newman, will be that defender. Kramer has enough range for second, so I'll have to see if his defense can play at the major league level there. Certainly has been fine in AAA. But for defensive reasons alone, before we even talk about the play, we need to make sure that the Pirates have a plan for the middle infield. As far as one that the team should complete, I'm going to say settle on Corey Dickerson's future. Even though Austin Meadows' departure kind of removed him from what we thought would be a crowded outfield picture, the club still needs to figure out if Dickerson is worth claiming a spot that is simply going to be a placeholder for, either a Jason Martin or a Travis Swaggerty. Much like the middle infield, the Pirates need to have a long-term place and plan there. It seems like for years we've talked about, Polanco, McCutchen, and Marte are all controllable for so long. Well, McCutchen's moved on. Marte and Polanco are still controllable, but, with each passing year, the reality comes that you need to replace those guys and it comes quick. So I'd like to see them figure out if Corey Dickerson can be that bridge between the current outfield and then maybe guys like Swaggerty Martin, or if it's just best to play out the string and See if you can get it for him at the trade deadline next year. And for an overrated one, I'm going to say figure out what to do with Francisco Cervelli. And a lot of people say trade him, don't pick up the option, that kind of thing. But with Cervelli taking reps at first base and not looking like a total disaster, it would not be the worst thing in the world to keep Cervelli and Diaz on the 25-man for one more year. If you can assume that Cervelli can play first base for, let's say, just throwing a number out there, 40 games, that's 40 less games he has to catch. And I think that would bode well for his health. And when he's healthy and in there, he's productive, bottom line. So the first base reps this year could be a solution to keeping him on the team next year at an affordable rate for his production, that's for sure. John from @PiratesTalk on Twitter has a pretty good question here. He asks, how much weight do you give to Marte and the Bucks facing southpaw starters in 10 of 23 August games? Definitely kind of an anomaly there. You don't quite see that frequency of left-handed pitchers in that short of a game span. But as a team, you know, the splits are pretty close. As a team, against right-handed pitchers, the Pirates slash 256, 320, 412, for a 731 OPS. Against left-handed pitching, batting 250, getting on base at 318, slugging 407, OPS of 726. So at a team level, not that much of a drop. Now, you're right in mentioning Marte. They could really feel this with guys like Marte, who could see a higher strikeout rate. Against lefties this year, Marte is striking out at 23.7% of the time, above his season rate of 16.9%. So a pretty sizable jump there. And the hidden penalties, let's say, is that guys who strike out a lot against a certain left-handed hitter might start pressing, and all of a sudden you have a snowball effect that these guys could get into some really bad slumps really quickly. But one guy who might not struggle at all is Josh Bell, who has hit, in my opinion, demonstrably better as a right-handed bat against left-handed pitching, and to the tune of a .264 batting average, .341 on base, and a .427 slugging, which is 40 points above his slugging as a left-handed bat against right-handed pitching. So Bell might have a little performance boost during August, and that might be good for him going into 2019 as well. Before we go any further, I just want to take a quick note to remind you that Locked On Pirates is always looking for sponsors. If you are interested, if you own a business, are a decision maker at a business, or otherwise have some pull, as they say, we'd love to talk to you. Our rates are pretty low, and we're not going anywhere. We are going to be here through the offseason, and Locked On Steelers is about to start up again, so you can talk about a package deal with both podcasts if you like. We'll make it happen. So if you'd like to get to learn more, please get in touch with me at jrolsonpgh on Twitter or email jrolson@gmail.com. The man Skip chimes in on Twitter. Do you see both Mercer and Jay Hay being replaced? Where does Frazier fit in? Is Kramer a factor? Newman appears to be nothing special. So Skip clearly has the middle infield on his mind. Can't blame him. There's so many different options here, so many different ways this could shake out. I don't see both Mercer and Jay Hay being replaced. Now, Mercer is the obvious call to go ahead and drift off into the ether. Contract is up, no option weirdness to navigate through. And I would like to think that this year in particular may have opened the organization's eyes to Josh Harrison being an okay player. Really, honestly, an okay player. I mean, if you look around major leagues, there's tons of Josh Harrisons out there. They make up the league. They really do. But when you have a chance to get out from what many would consider to be a bad contract, I think you have to do it. I just think there's just no better chance to do so. I'm pulling up the contract with him right now to remind myself of the buyout. But I don't think it's that much, and it's not. It's a $1 million buyout or a $10.5 million team option. There is no buyout in 2020, so you can almost make the case that with Harrison, you know, maybe you want to roll with him one more year because you can easily get out of it in 2020 with no penalty at all. But think what the Pirates can do with $10.5 million. That can go towards an extension to someone, Jameson Taillon perhaps. It could go to Young Ho Gong's option, which we're going to talk about in a second. I keep coming back to the point that Harrison is an okay player. There's nothing wrong with that. For the Pirates at $10.5 million, he had better produce more than he has this year. Last year was the definition, A second definition for Harrison of a career year, the home run spike he had last year was a fluke. I talked about that when it was happening. He had the lowest average exit velocity of anyone with 15 or more home runs. So don't get caught up in that home run total. Don't get caught up in his up and down performance, you know, those hot streaks that he had earlier in the year. Just don't get caught up in that. He is a good defender, an average bat. Is that worth $10.5 million to a team like the Pirates? I don't think so. Where does Frazier fit in? Well, you're saying that he can hit, David. But there's obvious concerns at second base. And if you're going to release Josh Harrison and let him go, Frazier has to play at second base. I just don't see any way around that unless they fully, fully commit to Kevin Kramer. You see what I'm talking about, the middle infield guys? Anyway, Kramer is a factor as well. Newman, the jury's out. So look, do I see both Mercer and Jay Hay being replaced? Yes and no. I mean, I can easily see it going where Harrison's brought back, but I really hope the Pirates don't do that. I really do. So let's talk about Young Ho Gong. Ethan Houlihan asks us, any chance they actually pick up Gong's option at this point? Well, if you want to be an optimist, if you want to take the optimistic point of view, Gong should have at least 2 to 3 weeks in AAA. To show that he's healthy at the very least, that he can swing a bat. Now, obviously, the bad thing with his injury being a wrist injury is that his power is going to be sapped as he builds up strength, you know, during his rehab assignment and going forward. I'm not sure if they can play him in the Arizona Fall League, but I think that would be a good option if he is able to do that. I'm not sure the exact rules in terms of player with an option year, that kind of thing. So we'll have to see about that. But just from a philosophical standpoint, at $5.5 million, that's a hell of a lot of risk for a lot of unknown. There's a $250,000 buyout on that $5.5 million option. It all points to the Pirates, in my opinion, perhaps declining the option and trying to work out a deal with him. I think Gong at this point would be in no position to kind of take a hardline stance in any kind of negotiation. Team out there to sign him for, you know, a $2 million contract, or even if we think of the darkest scenario for him, even just giving an invite to spring training and going from there. But I think the Pirates philosophically might also balk at putting him at third base, you know, for one more year. And perhaps if that's the case, why pick up David Freeze's option? So it almost becomes a Freeze versus Gong scenario. And Colin Moran, the jury is out on that guy as well. If Brian Hayes tears through AAA, are you going to be able to bring him up halfway through the year if Gong is around? These kind of questions are definitely on the Pirates' minds. And it all adds up to, in my opinion, probably not picking up the contract, but working towards a deal. I think that'd be the best idea for both parties. Will it come to be? Probably not. I have a horrible record for prediction here, so let's see if I can keep that horrible streak going with that one. But we'll see. We're going to end this mailbag with a question from our good friend Norm at Pro, the number 4, Mance Norm, Proformance Norm. He asks, without an organizational philosophy change, such as the Archer and Kella additions, will the Pirates be mired in mediocrity for the next 20 years? That's a doozy. I'm going to say yes, because the Major League Baseball right now, if you look around, it's a boom and bust league. You have to bust before you can boom, it seems like. And the Pirates have always dipped a toe in the water. Now, of course, the Archer and Kella acquisitions, as Norm mentioned, are an encouraging sign. Encouraging sign, but I'm not so sure they're a signal that the Pirates are going to adopt that as an organizational philosophy in the years to come. Rather, I think it was the perfect storm of scenarios or perfect storm of chips, trade chips, that allowed that to happen this year in particular. Think about what had to happen to get Archer, okay? We had to have a pitcher in Tyler Glasnow who, through either his fault or the Pirates' fault or somebody's fault, probably both, his future in the organization as a starting pitcher was done. It was done. So that, plus the fact that they were able to get Corey Dickerson so cheaply, that allowed them to take a longer view on their outfield, so they didn't necessarily need to keep Austin Meadows. So suddenly they had the chips that Tampa Bay wanted. And you throw in Shane Baz as well. So that was kind of a perfect storm of finally being able to land Chris Archer with the pieces at the right time. You know, 2 years ago when Corey Dickerson wasn't on the Pirates' radar, and Tyler Glasnow was still thought of as a starting pitching prospect. That trade could not happen. With Kella, they gave up Taylor Hearn, who was a very nice left-handed pitching piece. I really kind of looked to him as the left-handed guy in the Pirates' pipeline. But look, they have four qualified Major League starting pitchers right now. Musgrove, at that point of the trade deadline, has shown that I believe he will be a solid middle-of-the-rotation pitcher. Then you have Tyon, of course. You have Trevor Williams, who at that point was starting to come into his zone with one of these hot streaks he's been on. And obviously, the Pirates are so familiar with him that they can comfortably project what he might be for them going forward. Cool had the talent there. They have Noah for 2 years at that point. So they can give up a piece like Taylor Hearn, and also, I haven't even mentioned, they had Mitch Keller practically ready to go next year. So these two deals had to have the perfect storm of circumstances to pull off. So based on that fact alone, I don't necessarily point to those two deals and say, yes, the Pirates are changing their philosophy. You know, it's going to pain a lot of our listeners, a lot of my listeners, to hear me say this, but the difference is going to be in drafting and development. Can they turn guys like Jason Martin, Brian Reynolds, from trade chips that came in on deals into bona fide prospects? Can they get the most out of guys like Cole Tucker and Cabrian Hayes, who had this pedigree about them as prospects? I point to Will Craig. I love what they've done with Will Craig's development to this point. They've moved him over to the first base, had him concentrate on his footwork. That's propelled him defensively. His bat has played all year at double A, in terms of being the type of bat that can make it in the major leagues today. You know, a little bit of power, high strikeout rate, but still productive. So I point to that example in particular. Maybe they're starting to get that. And Kramer, too, because Kramer, if you recall, had no raw power tool to speak of when he was drafted. But the Pirates have helped him tap into his game power, and now he's a legitimate 20 home run threat, I feel, in the major leagues, 15 to 20 at the very least. So there's some signs that the drafting development is starting to get better, at least the development side of things. The Swaggerty pick, talk about the drafting side, was panned by a lot of people, but you know, halfway through Swaggerty's first pro season, he's turned some heads and thought of as a top prospect now. It's slipped into the top 100 by MLB Pipeline. So if the drafting and development can come along, I don't think the Pirates will be mired in mediocrity, but do not mistake the fact that they took the chance to get Archer and Keller when they could as some seismic shift in overall philosophy, because it's not that. Well, that's going to do it for us here on Locked On Pirates. I really appreciate your questions. I feel this was a great session. I feel like we got a lot accomplished today. So, you know, let's all go for ice cream, huh? This is Jason signing off. You can find me at JRawlsonPGH on Twitter or on the pages of BucksDugout.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.